Our scripture this morning comes from John 15, verses 9 to 11. Listen to God's word. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word, for how we come to know your love through that word, the ways that you have acted in human history. God, we thank you for that, and we pray that you would take these words off the page and help them come alive in our hearts, that we would know you more, that we would love you more, and that we would follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm sure most of you have heard that fairly common perception about the Christian faith, that it's focused on a list of do's and don'ts. How many of you have heard that kind of thinking? That living out the Christian faith is all about getting one's behavior right. This view is often held by those outside of the church, but also can be held by those who have been going to church their whole lives. Even if we know in our heads that isn't true, we often live as if the way to earn God's love is to follow the rules set out in the Bible. As mainstream Presbyterians, we might pat ourselves on the back for not being legalistic about some of those prohibitions, like not drinking or dancing or seeing R-rated movies. But we replace those specific rules with vague notions of making sure that we're basically a good person. Good folk who come to church and volunteer in our community, believing that those things somehow earn us credit with God. As we continue in this sermon series on investigating the Christian faith, we need to face one question head on. Is the Christian faith all about keeping a set of rules? Or variations on this question might be, do we earn God's love through good behavior? Or is God's love conditional on what we do or don't do? Some of you have heard about the book Unchristian, in which researchers led by David Kinnaman extensively surveyed young adults to find out their perceptions of Christians. One of the most common complaints is that Christians are hypocrites. And we've all heard that complaint, right? So there's no surprise there. But what was striking to me was that the researchers concluded that it was the Christians' own overemphasis on right behavior as the key to faithful living that prompted people to judge Christians by their behavior. When Christians make such a big deal about right behavior, and then when their behavior doesn't match up with what they say, we are viewed as hypocrites. Because Christians over the years have given so much attention to the do's and don'ts, when they don't do the do's and they do the don'ts, people notice. Contributing to the idea that the Christian faith is about keeping rules or that God's love is conditional based on behavior is the experience that some people have at church. Feeling rejected, judged, or simply held at arm's length based on what they say or what they do or maybe even what they look like. Donald Miller, a Christian author, mused about his experience with various communities of people in his book, Blue Like Jazz. In it, he contrasted two experiences. One was spending time camping in the woods with a bunch of what he called hippie types. What he experienced from them was an unconditional acceptance. He describes it this way: I liked them very much because they were interested in me. When I was with the hippies, I did not feel judged. I felt loved. To them, I was an endless well of stories and perspectives and grand literary views. It felt so wonderful to be in their presence, like I was special. His second experience followed his time with the hippies when he went to work at a Christian camp. And so his hair was long and he was beyond scruffy from his time in the woods. And he definitely was in one of those, it's cool, dude, frame of mind. And the people he met at camp didn't seem to know what to do with him because he didn't fit the Christian camp mold. While at the camp, he was trying out different churches, and from these combined experiences, he came to this conclusion. It isn't that the Christians I had been with had bad community. They didn't. I just liked the communities of the hippies because it was more forgiving, more, I don't know, healthy. The real issue in the Christian community was that it was conditional. You were loved, but if you had questions about whether the Bible was true or whether America was a good country or whether last week's sermon was good, you were not so loved. You were loved in word, but there was, without question, a social commodity that was being withheld from you until you shaped up. By towing the party line, you earned social dollars. By being yourself, you did not. These are broad generalizations, and they are unfair, but this is what I was thinking at the time. Donald Miller's words have always stuck with me, because I know I've experienced that, and maybe you have too. That some Christian communities put expectations on you as to how you need to behave, talk, and even that you need to think a certain way. And if you don't, they seem to be withholding something from you. Love and acceptance from that community feels conditional, as if maybe by withholding love, they believe they'll help you shape up your thoughts, words, and behaviors. Observing Christian communities who put so much emphasis on right behavior can make one think that rule following is central to the Christian faith. Experiencing communities who claim to believe in a loving God, but who offer conditional love based on how people look, act, or talk, can help reinforce a belief that God's love is conditional. And then there's this verse, this if statement that we're looking at today, where Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." At first glance, this verse seems to reinforce these perceptions of God's love being conditional and of rule following being at the center of the Christian faith. So if we're going to investigate the Christian faith, we need to explore these perceptions by digging deeper to make sure we understand what Jesus is saying here. The first thing to notice is what Jesus says in verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." The beautiful, unconditional love that the Father God has for his only begotten Son is the same love that Jesus has for us. From this first verse, we see that Christ's love for us is not conditional, but is the same unconditional love that God has for his Son, Jesus. This affirms and reassures us that Christ's love is always there, unconditional, and ready to be received. Jesus tells his disciples here, "Abide in my love." The word "abide" means to remain or continue in or to stay with. Biblical scholar Dale Bruner says the best way to understand it is the idea of making one's home in or with. He translates verse 9 as, "Just as much as the Father loved me, there, that is how much I have loved you. Make your home in this special love of mine and relax." In this translation, Bruner tries to capture the overwhelming fact that Christ's love for us is equal to the love that God has for his Son, and that he invites us to rest in that great love. He adds the parenthetical "and relax" to help capture that idea of making ourselves at home in Christ's love for us. We've all had various experiences where we were told to make yourself at home. We usually still try to be on our best behavior out of consideration for our host and don't act exactly as if we were at our home. But have you noticed that depending on what we notice and experience or know about our host, this invitation can either be very stressful or really relaxing? A host that clearly needs to have everything done a certain way, who subtly conveys that they are put out by our presence there, or who cringes inwardly or outwardly if we mess something up, is going to cause us to feel like we're walking on eggshells, hypervigilant about whatever we do. Contrast that with a host that is genuinely glad to have us there and shows it in words, looks, and actions. a host who is eager for us to have a wonderful experience and is gracious in our in response to our requests. Even as I describe it, can't you feel the difference between the tension you sense in thinking about that first kind of host and the inner relief when that second kind of host is described? Jesus Christ is that second kind of host, telling us to make our home in the special love that he has for us. We can relax into it and not feel like we have to be on guard, behaving just right, fearful that we might wear out our welcome, hypervigilant about our words and our actions, lest we be kicked out or cause offense. Before we even get to this potentially confusing if statement, we are assured of Christ's unconditional love for us and are invited to make ourselves at home in it and relax. Christ's love for us just is. It is offered first, and that invitation to make our home in it is never withdrawn. Christ's love is unconditionally available to us with an unconditional invitation to make our home in it. Having received that invitation, we can accept it or not. And what Jesus is telling us in that if statement is that keeping his commandments is the way we accept that invitation to make our home in his love. We distort our understanding of this if statement when we twist it around, thinking it's equivalent to Jesus saying, "If you want to abide in my love, you better keep my commandments." We hear that as a threat. Like a parent saying, "If you're going to live under my roof, you better abide by my rules." With the clear implication that if we break the rules, we're out. A better way to read this verse is not as a threat, but more of a description of how we stay within that experience of Christ's love. It's more like Jesus is saying, "When you keep my commandments, you will find yourself abiding in my love and continuing to experience the unconditional love that I freely offer to you." One of the ways we keep ourselves under the roof of Christ's love is when we seek to follow his commands. It's not a threat. It's a description of how things are. If we're interested in experiencing Christ's love for us, he tells us this is the way. We see that Jesus' invitation to the disciples and to us is not some burdensome list of regulations for us to struggle under their weight. Jesus concludes his thought here saying, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete." Instead of an onerous list of do's and don'ts, Jesus is inviting us into a joy-filled way of life, a life where we are loved, and where we matter. A life where we experience Christ's love for us and a deep, settled joy, even through hard times and painful emotions. The last thing we need to explore is what Jesus means by keeping his commandments. These are not the list of do's and don'ts that we often reduce it to. We know how harshly Jesus spoke to the Pharisees who were doing just that, reducing God's commandments to a legalistic list of rules and regulations. Jesus makes this if statement in the context of the upper room, where he's speaking with his disciples one last time before his upcoming crucifixion. He has just given them what he calls a new commandment. "Just as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another." He says almost the same thing again in verse 12, right after the three verses we read. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." His call to keep his commandments is a further commentary on this new commandment he has given them. It is a call to follow in the way of Christ, follow Christ's example, and continue to seek after him. I love how the new commandment follows in a chain. Jesus says, "Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And then the new commandment he gave is, "Just as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another." This call to keep Christ's commandment is a call to extend the love that the Father shows to Jesus, which Jesus shows to us, and which we are called to show one another. Our love for one another is not to be conditional, but is to reflect Christ's unconditional love for us. We don't have to muster up this love on our own strength, because we can draw from the love of Christ that we're making ourselves at home in. With the love that we receive from Christ, we keep his commands by seeking to extend that love to others. After college, I started attending a large young adult group at my church, and it was rather intimidating to go to this large group with only a few familiar faces. And I found myself feeling needy and looking around, wondering who was going to talk to me. And after some months, I joined one of their Bible study small groups and developed a strong bond with that group of women. I loved them, and I felt their love for me. And at that point, something interesting happened. I no longer felt needy when I went to that larger group. I knew there were people there who cared for me, and because of that, I was able to reach out to other people. Instead of wondering who would talk to me, I started talking to others, trying to make them feel welcome. From this, I got a taste of what Jesus is asking here, and how being secure in his love empowers us to reach out and show that love to others. So I've had this one thing happen a few times. I'm working away on a sermon, surrounded by my Bible and commentaries, and I get a knock on my door and find that I have two visitors. And they usually have some provocative conversation-starting question about faith. And I never know quite what to do. Do I tell them I'm a pastor? Do I answer their questions at face value? Do I start witnessing to them? I've tried all of those at different times, but usually my goal is to dismiss them as quickly and politely as I can. But yesterday it happened again, and their conversation starter question was probably one that resonates with a lot of people. Do you want to feel closer to God than you do now? I realize that question is similar to what Jesus is answering for the disciples. He knows that he will die soon, and even though he'll be raised from the dead, he will not be with his disciples in the same way again. He knows that they will have a tendency to feel far from him. He speaks these words because he wants them to know that they can still feel close to him, can still feel his love for them. When they're tempted to despair as they're faced with hardship and persecution, he tells them how they can continue to experience his love and grow in joy. If you keep my commandments, if you love others with the love that I'm showing you, you will make your home in my love, and my joy will be in you, and your joy will be made complete. Instead of reinforcing the idea of God's love being conditional, or the Christian faith being about rules that we're supposed to follow, we find in this passage the opposite. We find in it a celebration of the unconditional love that we have in Christ. And instead of a bunch of rules, we find his call to extend that love unconditionally to others. We recognize that Christ's unconditional love for us is what is at the heart of the Christian faith. We're encouraged to accept his invitation to relax and make ourselves at home in Christ's love. Instead of a call to follow a set of rules, we have a call to follow the example of one who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. The commandments we are called to keep can be summed up in one word: love. Love God, love our neighbors as ourselves, and love one another just as Christ has loved us. Instead of a list of do's and don'ts, Christ has given us his love, called us to make our home in that love, and from this place of love, seek to live out our Christian faith by being ready to share that love with others. My prayer for all of us, as individuals and as a church, is that we would learn more what it means to make ourselves at home in the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, and empowered by that love, reach out and show others the love of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.